Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. The film Black Klansman has grossed close to $90 million worldwide. It earned 6 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture and Best Director for Spike Lee. The film follows the story of Ron Stallworth, played by John David Washington. He's a black detective in Colorado Springs, and he infiltrates the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, obviously, being a black man poses some issues for a potential KKK member. So he enlists a fellow white officer, played by Adam Driver, to pose as him in person. While he develops a relationship with several Klan leaders, including the infamous David Duke, he does this over the phone. Here's a clip from the film.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
Well, I've established contact and created some familiarity with the Klansmen over the phone. I'll continue in that role, but I'll need another officer, surprise, surprise, a white officer to play me when they meet face to face.
That's my point exactly.
Chief, black Ron Stallworth over the phone, white Ron Stallworth face to face, so there becomes a combined Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
I believe we can with the right white man. We can do anything.
Now, if this sounds too preposterous to be true, you are wrong. Ron Stallworth is a real person, and he's sitting right in front of me. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, Al?
This is an amazing story. So you're a young cop. You're in Colorado. What was your life like before all this happened? What was going on with you personally and professionally?
Personally, I was single. I was dating a woman that I later married, my first wife. Professionally, I was... Well, personally, I was going out to the discos both for fun and as part of my job, trying to make undercover cases. And I referred to it as my disco daddy days, which John David always cracks up over. And I was professionally, I was working narcotics, undercover narcotics investigations, and then got transferred into intelligence and initiated this Klan investigation.
Now, was the Colorado Springs Police Department aware of the goings-on of the KKK in this area? Was it a priority at all?
No. We didn't know anything about this until I saw the newspaper ad, which said Ku Klux Klan for information, and then there was a P.O. box. And so I responded to the P.O. box. I answered it, wrote a letter, identifying myself using the language they use as a white supremacist, and signed my real name, which was a mistake.
Or Ron.
But it worked out. I signed my real name to the letter and put it in the mail. And about a week later, I get a phone call on the undercover phone line, and the person asked to speak to Ron Stallworth. That's when I realized I had made a mistake and signed my name. And... I answered him. He identified himself as the leader of the local Colorado Springs chapter of the Klan, and that he got my letter, found it interesting, and wanted to talk to me. He asked me again, "Why do you want to join the Klan?" So I told him that a black man, and I used the so-called N-word, a term I hate. He said a black man had. I told him my black man was dating my sister. Every time he put his filthy black hands on her pure white body, it made me cringe, and I wanted to do something to stop that abuse of the white race. His response was, "You're just the kind of guy we're looking for. When can we meet?" And that was when my investigation got up and running.
You came up with that story on your feet?
Mm-hmm. There was no plan. I'm often asked, what was the operational plan going into this? There was no operational plan. It was an off-the-cuff situation that when I answered the phone and he asked for Ron Stallworth, I had to start formulating something.
Wow. So when you initially saw that ad, were you surprised by it? It's just sitting there in the local paper.
Very surprised. But it was a tactic of theirs back then. Mm-hmm. Up in Denver, an hour drive away from Colorado Springs, they were doing the same thing. They were putting ads in the local papers in Denver saying essentially the same thing. So it was a tactic of theirs. Nobody else answered it but me, in law enforcement.
Was there any sort of racial animosity in Colorado Springs at the time?
No. Colorado Springs was a very nice community. It was it was not the conservative community that it is now, with all of the Christian evangelical organizations that exist there now, which quite frankly have ruined it. It was a very nice place. Beautiful scenery, very warm atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Fort Carson Military Base was there, and NORAD, North American Air Defense Command, was there. Peterson Air Force Base was there. The U.S. Air Force Academy was there. Typical military town, but there was nothing untoward about it.
So that must have been as much of a shock to think, okay, so there's this whole group of people out there masquerading as average Colorado citizens who mean people like me nothing but harm.
They weren't average. They were GIs from Fort Carson. The Klan members that I was dealing with were GIs from Fort Carson. And a couple of them had knowledge of explosives. That was part of their job. Mm-hmm. And they talked about bombing the two gay bars that we had. So this was not an ordinary investigation. It was very... it was a different thing than we had done in Colorado Springs. And again, it just happened off the cuff.
My guest is Ron Stallworth. He is the real-life protagonist from the film Black Klansman. So you devised this plan where a white officer whose name is Chuck in real life, right? It's Flip in the movie?
Chuck's not his real name.
Oh, okay. We'll call him Chuck. We'll call him Chuck. Once you realized that they wanted to meet you in person, what did you say to your superiors? Were they signing on to this idea that you would send someone else in?
Well, in order to use Chuck, I had to go to his boss, who was a lieutenant in charge of the narcotics section, the same lieutenant I had worked for a year earlier, and I had had a disagreement with him, and he basically transferred me out of detectives, and I ended up in uniform for 4 months before being reassigned to intelligence. And when I went to the lieutenant and asked for the use of Chuck, he said, it'll never work. And they'll know the difference between the fact that they were talking to a black man on the phone versus this white man that's walking into the door to talk to them for the meeting. And my response to the lieutenant was, what does a black man sound like? And he gave me a blank stare and never answered it. He simply said, I'm not going to waste one of my good undercover officers on a bunch of nonsense with men wearing white robes, and dismissed me. And that's when I went to my sergeant and he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to take it up to the chief. So we bypassed the chain of command and went directly to the chief of police. Something that could have been career-ending for me by doing that, but I was willing to do it. And I told the chief what I had done. The chief called the lieutenant up and said, give him anything he wants.
How fruitful was the investigation ultimately?
A lot of people have questioned whether the investigation was a success because we did not arrest anybody. You have to understand, this was an intelligence investigation. Mm-hmm. In intelligence, you're not going after arrest, you're going after information
right.
that could possibly lead to an arrest. And we were developing information. We identified the network of white supremacist organizations in the state of Colorado, something that had never been done before. We were gathering links to that because they were coming to meetings and talking to my people. The undercover officers I got in to the group. I got a second officer into the group as well. And then I got an undercover officer from the Denver Police Department into the group for him to do the same thing in Denver, and he never really followed through with anything. So we identified the links between the white supremacist groups. We identified two top security clearance personnel assigned to the North American Air Defense Command, whose job was to monitor North American airspace. When I had a meeting with the deputy commander of NORAD, in Cheyenne Mountain, and told him about my investigation, he called the Pentagon, talked to some general, and I couldn't hear his conversation. This was told to me by later. But he talked to some general at the Pentagon, and as a result, those two top security people were removed from their assignment, and I was told they were going to be sent to the North Pole, and that well, there was a base near the North Pole. And we also prevented three cross burnings, which are domestic acts of terrorism.
I'm curious, as the, you know, people like to think this is ancient history, and it's not. And we're going through it now with the current governor of Virginia and his medical book with a picture of a KKK member in the medical school. What do you think when you hear about those things happening today in 2019, given your experience?
What the governor of Virginia is alleged to have done is bad, was bad, and finding it out in this time after he was elected it makes it even worse. But what's worse than what the governor of Virginia did is what we have sitting in the White House right now. The gentleman in the White House I refer to as the white supremacist in chief. And I won't even use the title that he holds because to me, he's illegitimate. He's not an honorable man. He's immoral. And he doesn't represent the high standards that Barack Obama held when he occupied that office. Barack Obama was the last president of the United States. We have a Russian agent right now running this country, and that's just sad for us as a nation.
It's opened up a lot of conversations we've had about race, conversations we need to have. It's amazing what you accomplished, Ron.
It was fun.
Oh, that's another whole conversation about it being fun. Ron Stallworth, he is the real-life protagonist of the film Black Klansman, which is up for Best Picture at the Oscars. Ron, thanks for coming in and sharing your story with us.
It is my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, New York.
You've been listening to all of it on WNYC.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.